America's first new commercial airport in a decade. What it took to get it done. I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. My guest today is Randy Curtis, who is Executive Director of the Panama City Bay County International Airport and Industrial District. This is the airport authority involved with the relocation of the Panama City Bay County International Airport. This has been in the works for a long time, and it just cleared what appears to be its final environmental challenge this weekend from opponents of moving the airport. Randy, thanks for taking a few minutes out, and congratulations, first of all, on the ruling over the weekend.
Certainly. Thank you.
Let me get a little background from you, because if I understand correctly, this will be the first new airport, new commercial airport constructed in the United States in something like a decade.
Roughly. I think in the mid-1990s, the Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport was relocated and opened. And to my knowledge, this is the first commercial service airport since that time.
All right. You have some unique circumstances surrounding your project. Let me tell you what I perceive from just reading background on this, and let me know if I have it distilled correctly. But you had an airport that was located near a population center, which over a period of years had residential encroachment to the point where it became impossible to extend the runways to a length that would make the airport competitive in the region for the kind of traffic you wanted to attract. And then, kind of ironically, after years of failure to protect the airport in that sense, suddenly the community immediately around the airport didn't want to see it leave. Is that correct? Because if it is, that's kind of a different twist on the NIMBY battle.
Well, not quite the case. The airport here dates back to the early 1940s, and so we have been in this location for many years. We're surrounded on three sides by rather dense residential areas, and also, on the south side, we have a major highway that goes right up to the our runway approaches. And then on the north end, we have St. Andrews Bay, which is a rather large body of water. Several of the issues that we've been faced here with, one is the encroachment from the surrounding neighborhoods. Also, we're at a rather low elevation. The end of our primary runway is only 7 feet above sea level, and that tends to create problems for us during hurricane situation, tropical storms. Also, we're located in rather close proximity to Tyndall Air Force Base, and likewise, we have problems with conflict between military and civilian aircraft operations. The issue that we've been trying to resolve for many, many years has to do with having a very short runway. Our primary runway is 6,304 feet. And that has limited the type of aircraft operations that can take place here. And in addition to that, we do not meet FAA's safety standards for the runway safety areas, which is essentially a buffer zone that surrounds the runway and extends 1,000 feet beyond either end. In our worst scenario, the approach to our primary runway only has a safety area of 59 feet, and beyond that, you're actually into the bay itself. And then, as I said earlier, on the opposite end, we have a major highway, so we're really hemmed in. We had tried for many years to resolve the runway issues by extending the runway into the bay itself, and that became a major environmental battle.
Oh, yeah.
With opposition from regulatory agencies and environmental advocacy groups. And it was only within roughly about 10 years ago when another solution came forward, and that was with the donation of land that would allow us to move the airport to a different site.
And that is one of the most unique aspects of this. Now, tell us about the company, the St. Joe Company, and why they donated this 4,000-acre site.
Right. The St. Joe Company is an old Florida company. They've been here and I think operated since the 1930s. They originally started out and operated for many years in the timber business and paper mill business. And about the, really about 10 years ago, they started looking at restructuring their company and actually began developing lands throughout the panhandle that they owned, from residential to commercial and some industrial. And it was during this time frame that we were working trying to expand the runway into the bay here that we approached the St. Joe Company, and ultimately what had happened is an offer from St. Joe to donate 4,000 acres of land for relocation of the airport, as well as an additional 10,000 acres of land for mitigation requirements to meet the permitting requirements.
Okay, that's significant, too, that the amount of land being used for environmental offsets of various sorts is much bigger than the actual land being used for the airport.
Definitely. And the airport is the new airport will be part of what's called the West Bay Area Sector Plan. And that was a demonstration project in land use planning that was done for the state of Florida. The airport site proper will be 4,000 acres, but the sector plan covers the land use planning for about 75,000 acres. And of that 75,000 acres, a little bit over 40,000 acres is being set aside for some form of environmental preservation or conservation. And in case of the airport, we will use 10,000 acres of that land for our mitigation requirements.
Tell me a little bit about specifically about the court decision that came down over the weekend. Judge Timothy Corrigan essentially ruled that the opponents of this, who were attacking it on environmental grounds, had no reasonable expectation that they would prevail in their complaints. How long has this have these challenges been going on?
This particular challenge actually only started about 2 weeks ago, and it was a challenge to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers 404 dredge and fill permit. That's one of the major permits required for the new airport. The groups that filed the latest challenge were the Clean Water Network, Citizens for the Bay, and later the Natural Resource Defense Council also entered into the challenge itself. But approximately 2 weeks ago, the groups came in and asked for an emergency stay stopping construction work that's currently underway. The judge refused to grant that stay. At the same time, he did set a hearing for the 23rd of January to hear both parties in regard to the motion that had been filed to stop the work. So initially, the injunction that had been requested was denied. And then the same thing happened after the actual hearing took place last week.
All right, we're going to take a break in a moment, and I want to come back and talk a little bit more about some of the specifics of the airport move. But I distinctly remember reading some coverage where some of the people complaining about this were people who are near the old airport location who had complained it would be a longer drive to pick up passengers and so forth.
Right.
Can you explain that? That's something, frankly, unprecedented in any story about an airport that I've heard in the last few years, is people saying, no, I want it to stay here.
To a certain degree, this was a small group of general aviation pilots that live very close to the airport, and probably in some cases they can walk to it. And really, their complaint was simply a matter of convenience for them. They did not want to have to drive 15, 20 minutes to get to the new airport site.
Okay, and will there be anything left of the old airport, or will this land be completely turned back over to residential or commercial development?
Actually, that's the sale of the existing airport is a means that we're using to fund the local share of the airport, of the new airport cost. And the property, we have already entered into a sales contract with a group that will redevelop the property. We've got excellent waterfront property as well as commercial road frontage as well. So we anticipate that it's going to be a very upscale, very positive development for the community.
All right. We're talking with Randy Curtis, who is the executive director of the Panama City Bay County International Airport and Industrial District. We're talking about the final legal hurdle being cleared over the weekend to allow the relocation and construction of the new airport to go forward. And we'll talk more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. I'm Paul Plack, and my guest today is Randy Curtis, who is Executive Director of the authority that runs the Panama City Bay County International Airport in Florida. We're talking about the relocation of the airport and some of the challenges that it has faced as it moved forward. Randy, you faced not only this more recent challenge that was resolved in court over the weekend, but some of the same principles, maybe in different organizational umbrellas, challenged the FAA's environmental impact statement, and that goes back a little bit further. Tell us about that and how that was resolved.
Right. The FAA had issued a record of decision, which was the culmination of the environmental impact statement process, and within a short time after that was issued in late 2006, three groups filed a challenge in federal court against FAA's decision, and that was the Natural Resource Defense Council, Defenders of Wildlife, and Friends of PFN. Mm-hmm. That did play out, and ultimately there was a hearing held in the Second Circuit District Court in New York, and likewise ruled in our favor that the project should go forward.
Some of these protests that happen, that get to court, frankly strike me as the legal equivalents of setting up protest tents in front of the bulldozers. I struggle sometimes to understand what it is about an airport, and a lot of it's clearly not noise-related, what it is about an airport being moved someplace that sets these folks off.
What's very interesting in this process is that we actually had many of the environmental groups that were very supportive of the airport, and that was based on the amount of conservation lands that were going to be set aside and preserved. The Audubon Society, Florida Department of Environmental Protection, and several local environmental groups were very supportive and actually issued briefs in our favor. I think it's just a given with a project of this magnitude that you're going to go through this type of situation.
Well, I know that, for example, in the case of Meigs Field in Chicago, which was a very notorious abrupt closing of an airport, it was done to create a park. And one of the things that has always struck me about an airport, and I live a half mile from an airport here, is that an airport is pretty much a guaranteed green space, or most of it is, for as long as it exists. I've never really understood why people would not want an airport, you know, in this area. And in your case, I would think that building an airport, if anything, guarantees that some of the specific species are going to be protected.
Definitely. We have gone above and beyond the minimum requirements from an environmental perspective for this airport, such that it's been our goal to develop net environmental benefits once the airport is up and operating. And the fact that you've got a huge amount of land that's being set aside and preserved and basically restored to its condition years ago before there was any development take place, I think it's a very positive aspect of it. Some of these groups, I'm not really sure you could actually categorize them as environmentalists, as true environmentalists, because I don't think they really looked at the project overall. If the airport went away and, for example, the 10,000 acres of land went away that we're preserving, it would revert to its original land use, which would allow for basically piecemeal type development.
Mm-hmm. Well, and frankly, I lived in Florida for 6 years, and frankly, there are some places where Florida has not been as good as some other states in controlling that kind of development.
Right, and the whole purpose of the sector plan that we did for the 75,000 acres surrounding the airport was to really avoid that, to come in up front and do the appropriate land use planning so that you don't have the urban sprawl and piecemeal type developments that you've seen elsewhere in the state.
Now, over the course of the time you folks were putting these plans forward, it looks like you went to extraordinary lengths to make sure all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed. There have to have been times during your deliberations where questions came up about, is this really necessary? Is this a necessary expenditure of time and funding? I have to think now, looking back, you're glad you went to that much trouble.
Well, certainly, yeah. I think it's paying off as we work our way through the court challenges. And thus far, the court has upheld, or courts have upheld everything that we've done in the planning phase. It is at times frustrating because there is a lot of bureaucracy and red tape that you have to go through, but I think the end result will pay off.
Now, you appear to have all your ducks in a row financially. When will the airport open if it proceeds on schedule?
It is proceeding on schedule. We started construction December 26th, and right now we're looking at the new airport opening in spring of 2010.
All right, and what will the runway length end up being at the new airport, and what kinds of improvements in the service to the area do you expect as a result of the relocation?
Well, first of all, we'll provide a runway that does meet FAA safety standards that we don't have today. We will have at least an 8,400-foot runway, and that will resolve many of the issues that we've had in attracting air carriers that could not economically operate on the shorter runway that mm-hmm. we have at the existing airport. We've had a great demand for general aviation facilities, from corporate hangars to fixed-base operators and other general aviation activities that we really have not been able to accommodate at the existing airport. We only have about 700 acres here today, and the initial development at the new airport will be 1,300 acres, and ultimately we can expand up to 4,000 total.
Well, it sounds like you have a great project underway. It's going to be very exciting to see it finished because, like we said when we started out here, it's been a long time since a commercial airport was developed in the U.S. We hope to keep in touch with you and maybe talk again when the opening is at hand.
Certainly, I'd be more than happy.
My guest has been Randy Curtis, who is Executive Director of the Panama City Bay County International Airport and Industrial District. You can find out more about the airport project at www.pcairport.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you can find us at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.